This is Marking Out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Follow on Twitter. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Marking out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Brennan likes this thing. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. We're marking out. Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans.
Welcome to Marking Out. Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans. Thanks for listening. Check us out, markingout.com. And FYI, this is episode 788. And make sure that you are subscribed and downloading. Wherever you are listening to podcasts, such as on Spotify, leave us a 5-star rating to go with that 5-star matchup. Dave Meltzer, you mark. And go buy a t-shirt over at prowrestlingtees.com/markingout. Give us a like on Facebook, because people still use it. And on TikTok, at markingout. And on Twitter, at markingout. But on Instagram, markingout11. Hey, follow me, Dave the Rave, on all social media platforms. At DavidPTDPD. Follow Chris at CMSweeney85 on Instagram and Chris Swindog on Twitter. And follow Brandon at BTTG161. So that being said, Brandon, how are you doing?
I am doing awesome as always. How about yourself?
Doing fantastic. How was your week?
It was pretty quick, I'd say. It felt like it zoomed by. We had nice weather this week, and now we have, like, almost snow again.
Snow?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something different.
As Hurricane would say, what's up with that?
Yeah, was not expecting that today.
I thought you were going to start singing what's up with that from SNL.
What's up with that?
But no. I tried, you know those new naked Doritos that they have out?
No.
So they have Cool Ranch Doritos, they have the Nacho Cheddar Doritos, and then they have Cheetos, but naked. They took out all the artificial dyes and flavorings and stuff.
Shouldn't that be how everything is produced, though, within the United States?
I mean, I believe so. I think if all of that stuff passes, then we're going to have, like, duller candy and stuff. But
I mean, thank goodness, because then we'll have hopefully a reduction in cancer, and you know, these big corporations and pharmaceutical companies only give a crap about making money. So and same thing with the politicians. So I highly doubt that anything will be going through.
But when you think of the artificial colors and stuff on can you picture a Cool Ranch Dorito in your head?
Yeah.
What color would you think the seasoning would be left there?
Maybe a little bit on the brown side.
Brown seasoning? I forgot your color.
Maybe. Yeah.
I thought I was gonna open that bag and see just like a bunch of green specks. It was just red specks. The green specks are gone. What were the green specks that were bad? I don't even know. Like, that was wild to me. But it's also Not 100% what I want from a Cool Ranch Dorito. It tastes similar to the normal flavor, but it's just off. And I don't know. I don't know if they're necessarily like healthier, but honestly, I mean, they're not getting rid of the normal chips. They're not replacing them. So if I do want to indulge in Cool Ranch Doritos, I have those to fall back on.
They should just get rid of all of that.
It would be so weird to live in a world where we don't have whatever the actual flavor of Cool Ranch is.
I mean, I feel like everything should be how Europe is, with the lack of chemicals and stuff that they put into the whatever we're eating.
I mean, they also consider French fries to be Chinese food, so.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
I mean, according to TikTok, all I see is curry sauce over French fries. And then they're like, oh, you have to have this. They dump a whole bunch of curry sauce all over their Chinese food that's not Chinese food. So, well, not American Chinese food, I guess. I don't know what it is over there, but And then they put tuna fish on a baked potato with baked beans, according to TikTok.
I would try that.
I would 100% not try that.
I would
maybe
be,
I would take a bite.
I would test it.
I would take a bite. Yeah, that's I don't need to. Eat
I mean,
tuna
it doesn't
fish
mean I'm going
to
eat the whole
potato.
Thing, but I would be open to testing it out.
I don't know. But how was your week?
My week was very delightful. It was very delightful. Thank you so much for asking. I really appreciate it. It's like you care every single week.
What was delightful about it?
It went by fast and got me to almost the weekend. I don't know.
You consider Friday night the weekend?
I mean, technically, no, but I don't know. Not really, but act like it is.
if someone was like, yeah, whatever. Monday Night Raw, let's move to that.
Brandon was just like, we're going to spend too long talking about this. Forget
it. Move on. With Adam Pearce, and he called Seth Rollins out, and a masked man showed up. Then a bunch of masked men showed up, which was super, super goofy, especially since one of them was Seth Rollins. And they all, I mean, man, this segment. Adam Pearce brought up the Vision, and then the Vision came out, and they got into the ring, and all the masked men got back into the ring. They scrambled, and Seth Rollins was gone. He put his mask on. That was like the Mighty Morphin Power Ranger Putty.
Enemies. Yeah, the initial one just didn't make sense. The second one, I could get it as a getaway, but the first one, and then he appears, it just didn't make sense to me.
It looked like those goth kids that dance under bridges.
It's actually funny you said that, because I actually just came across that video after like, what, 15 years, 10 years, and I couldn't stop laughing when I saw that.
A lot of people are comparing it to WCW 2000. I think that's offensive to WCW 2000.
Yeah, no,
I don't know. It's like I didn't hate the putty segment with Seth Rollins, but it just why? Like it didn't do anything for me.
It didn't make sense to me.
It was very weird. But LA Knight showed up and he fought the Vision. He was getting beat down. The Usos came out very slowly, I'll add. And they end up getting the upper hand. But I'll put a pin in the Usos there.
Yeah. First matchup of the night, Bayley picked up the victory in the gauntlet match to become the number one contender for the IC Championship.
I was completely wrong. I thought Raquel Rodriguez was going to win this match. But a lot of people were like, this match sucked. I enjoyed this match.
I didn't think that it sucked at all.
It opened with Lyra Valkyria and Io Sky. And I enjoyed, from what we did see from that pairing, I enjoyed that. I wish the commercials weren't as long as they were, because I think that really took away from this whole match.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was obvious that it would be Io moving on there. And then Raquel Rodriguez was the next person out, and Liv Morgan got involved. 70 Vicaire ran down, so they brawled out to the back. Io hit what do you even call it, a tornado inside cradle or whatever?
Yeah, it was interesting.
I think that's the second time we've seen her use that. Fantastic pin. And then she advanced over Raquel, and I was like, I was like, how is that possible? How's Raquel not moving on? And then Raquel ends up attacking Io. So much so that when Ivy Nile ran out next, literally just gets in the ring and pins her, and that's it. Honestly, yeah. I think that's great.
I'm totally fine with it, because it still left Raquel Rodriguez looking strong, especially after the matchup. If it was just left as is, I would feel a little bit annoyed with it, but because she did get the upper hand at the end, I'm totally fine with it. And then, I thought that it was fine.
And then Bayley was out next, and she went, instead of going straight to the match for Ivy Niles, she went and checked on Io. And that allowed for Ivy to attack Bayley from behind. And Ivy got a lot in this match, in that pairing there. And I thought that was awesome.
I agree with you.
That running corner German suplex That Bayley hit was very interesting. I don't know if we've ever seen Bayley or anybody hit that before. I thought that was like a very interesting setup to a German suplex. She eventually hits the Bayley to belly to eliminate Ivy Nile. I think she tried for it once before in that match and then actually connected with it. After that, Asuka was out and Bayley dove onto her. As they're making their way out, Asuka's handing all her entrance stuff to Kairi, like just throwing it at her. And Kairi is paying attention to the camera. So she's looking directly in the camera. Bayley dives out onto Asuka and like Kairi's almost oblivious to it. And I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, I thought that was a great setup.
But Asuka, sure. pretty early on over there, got the upper hand by, I guess, kind of pushing Kairi in the way.
Yeah, she utilized Kairi, and it helped her out.
And then Kairi tried to cheat behind the referee's back. Lyra Valkyria showed up and took her out. Asuka got the Asuka lock on, but Bayley reversed that, hits the rose plant, gets the victory.
Yeah.
So we're getting...
Next up, you had...
Bayley versus AJ Lee, which is a somewhat of a dream match that I mean, really, over a decade in the making.
Maybe a decade too late. We'll find out. Next up, you had Penta pick up victory over El Grande Americano to retain the championship. I thought that this was a good matchup.
But this was not the original matchup.
No, somebody got cursed.
Danhausen met up with El Grande Americano original backstage before this match. God bless him. He's trying to speak Spanish, but he just can't. And Danhausen wanted to try on his mask. He tried to take it. And because Americano didn't let him take the mask, he cursed El Grande Americano. In the way, way back, though, lurking, Los Americanos were there. So, one was to deduce that they attacked El Grande Americano original. Nobody on commentary even, like, noticed them, said anything about them.
I don't even think I noticed them.
I don't think a lot of people on Twitter did. I was like, I'm almost certain I saw Los Americanos backstage. And then I went back and rewatched the promo. I'm like, brother, they're right here. Almost like a Scooby-Doo-esque sort of situation. Also, before this match started, Penta cut a incredible fired-up promo. Thanks, everybody. The ring pyro for him was awesome.
Yeah, and the crowd loved it.
And I, like you said, I enjoyed this match.
Yeah.
El Grande Americano showed up for the match instead. That first destroyer that Penta went for, I was surprised that Americano reversed it. But then Penta hit the springboard one later on, gets the victory off of that. Something very similar happened in AAA in regard to El Grande Americano, where El Grande Americano ended up chained backstage, and then Original took his spot. And that led him to move on to the finals of the tournament that's happening right now.
Yeah.
So...
It was good.
They're playing it. The roles are reversed, sort of, on American TV and Mexican TV. So after that, Dominic Mysterio spoke with the Judgment Day, and Finn Balor was nowhere to be found. So JD McDonagh was like, "I'll go look for him." And Dom was like, "I need to say something. I'm going to the ring." So he goes to the ring with Raquel Rodriguez, with Liv Morgan, and he demanded a rematch for the Intercontinental Championship. Almost kind of sounded like he was blaming Finn Balor for losing the title. And then
I took it as him completely blaming him.
I don't want to say completely, but like it kind of. You could see it, like if you could see through it or whatever, but.
Yeah, I mean, JD, he led up to that entire moment, and then he was just like, he name drops Finn Balor right after that. It's hard not to.
Yeah, and then JD and Finn Balor did show up, and Dom said Finn Balor better have gotten him a rematch. And Finn Balor apologized, and he's like, "I'm just trying to teach you a lesson. I was just trying to teach you a lesson last week, I should say. And Finn Balor said, maybe Rey Mysterio was right. And then he attacked. He did the Pele kick.
I mean, he did push him, though.
Well, yeah. After Balor brought up Rey Mysterio. And then JD McDonagh surprisingly took Finn Balor down. Finn Balor was the one who brought JD into the Judgment Day.
Yeah, that was a surprise. He clocked him with that clothesline, too. Short arm clothesline that Iron Sheik would be proud of.
Raquel and Liv Morgan also beat him down. Dom grabbed a chair. He grabbed the hammer. He used the hammer to hit a 619 with. He did the frog splash on top of the chair. I feel like that would have hurt. I don't know why you would have done that, but Finn Balor out of the Judgment Day jumped out just like every other member that's gotten kicked out except for Carlito.
Yeah, this is leaving only one original member.
No.
And that's Dirty Dom.
Zero original members.
Oh, I thought Dirty. Oh, yeah, because technically he.
Finn Balor was not technically an original member. Maybe on a technicality, Finn Balor was an original. Finn Balor was not part of the original iteration. It was Edge. It was Damian Priest. It was Rhea Ripley. They wanted Finn Balor in the group. And then the night Finn Balor joined was the night that they jumped Edge out.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody else who Finn Balor recruited to join the Judgment Day was Roxanne Perez. So where does she side? We won't know yet.
I'm going to guess she's going to side with Liv and all of them, no? Like, I see right now Finn is going to be on his own. And I think that this is a great move because I think that Finn Balor, not that he was being held back by Judgment Day, but I feel like right now he's going to get the full support even further from the fans. And I could really see him get back to that top level where we want to see him get that championship again.
Does Finn Balor eventually join the SmackDown Judgment Day?
No, I don't think so.
Will the SmackDown Judgment Day become a thing?
I don't think so of that.
I mean, right now they are. Backstage, we saw Kofi Kingston talk to Javon Evans, and he tried to get Javon to join New Day, which I don't think will happen, but he was certainly, it seemed like he was willing to hear him out. So I think it would be interesting if Javon did join New Day, but I don't see Javon turning heel, and New Day's definitely not turning face anytime soon. We have seen groups before where they've been heel and a face has joined them and they're still face, but the group is heel. I just don't see that happening, but I think it'd be interesting.
Yeah. I agree.
Well, after that, we saw Obafemi pick up the victory over Rusev. I feel like it too short.
I agree with you. I don't know. I'm torn on this because Obafemi, we want to see him built up, but I also want to see Rusev built up too, but you're not going to have two winners in this. But Oba, I mean, without it being a squash, he squashed Rusev.
The main event of Monday Night Raw.
Which is like not what I think anybody expected.
No. Especially, I mean, we get to the last segment. I was like, I didn't even realize Raw was over.
Yeah, it happened very fast.
CM Punk came out. He spoke about the World Heavyweight Championship being created because of Roman Reigns never defending the Universal Championship or the WWE Championship. And he said that the people deserve a fighting champion. And he is leveling the title up. He's leveling his opponents up. And then the Usos came out. And Jey Uso, demanded an apology from CM Punk for what he said about Sika. And Punk ends up asking why Roman is sending his family again? Why isn't Roman out there himself? And Jay was like, we're here on our own. You disrespected, Jimmy said this. Jimmy said that CM Punk disrespected Sika, who basically he can't even defend himself. They want an apology. And CM Punk was like, well, I hope Sika hears me. And he said that he respected Sika. He knew Afa better. He would train with Afa. He mentioned Lance Anoa'i. He mentioned Samu. And he went on to run down Roman Reigns. And Jay was like, it's not about Roman Reigns. You need to apologize for what you said.
Which, honestly, he said, I don't think that they're absolutely in the wrong for asking for this.
No, because like we said last week, that line was out of place.
It was out of character of what we've been seeing of CM Punk too.
Yeah, and then CM Punk said, I'm sorry, Roman treated them like garbage. And then they got physical and Jimmy knocked CM Punk down, and that's how Monday Night Raw ended.
I thought that this was just, it was disappointing, I'll say. Because I feel like they should have had CM Punk just apologize. Keep him face. Don't make us, I mean, are they trying to get us to choose between Roman Reigns or CM Punk? I mean, why not just keep one, just keep CM Punk a pure face? Why then just have him apologize and move on, especially because so many people were not happy with what was said.
I mean, you do go into WrestleMania face versus face, technically.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Not a fan of that.
Moving on to NXT Vengeance Day. This was a great event.
Yeah, kicked off with a street fight. Blake Monroe pick up the victory over Jada Parker. And this was exactly what I wanted. They went at each other.
Very entertaining. And I liked the kendo sticks on the ropes. Blake Monroe was able to put a chair on it at one point, and then Jada ends up dropping her onto it. But I liked that they were all on each of the ropes. I popped when Blake Monroe wrestled an umbrella away from the crowd at one point to use.
I thought that was
funny. Because it's like on and off rain in Orlando. So you never know when it's going to be raining. Even right now, there's a chance of rain in the next hour. But yeah, this was a fun match. That spot with the pearls punch, I thought was great.
Yeah. I thought that they delivered big time.
Jada Parker did a teardrop off the apron through the table. And then a bunch of people online, botched. She missed. She completely missed. Like, how could she completely miss if the table breaks? If the table didn't break, maybe you'd have a case. You literally see her land on Blake Monroe. I truly don't. Multiple people were saying it. I don't understand it. You can physically see her landing on her and the table breaking. Blake Monroe dumped a bunch of diamonds out. She hit the stratosphere. She hit the glamour shot DDT onto those diamonds and got the victory there.
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
Speaking of,
next up, you had Tony D'Angelo pick the victory over Dion Lennox.
Not a parking lot brawl like we had thought last week. I don't know where that got started. I don't know why that was like marked on Wikipedia. Why that even?
I think Wikipedia said it.
Yeah. That even last week, I was like, when did this get turned into a parking lot brawl? It did show up. Like, it did start in the parking lot. So maybe some that was like why? I don't know where that started from. I don't remember ever hearing anything about a parking lot. So. But it eventually gets into the ring. Dark State was involved beforehand. OTM fought with them. They fought like a bunch in the crowd and around the performance center before the match actually started. And then when the match actually started, it was very fast paced.
Yeah.
Dion Lennox tried to crush Tony's ankle. Tony ends up moving out of the way. Dion Lennox threw Tony D'Angelo into the crowd, suplexed him from the crowd through the commentary table. They kept going. Tony eventually gets the victory there. I had no idea Tony D'Angelo's hair was like that.
I was surprised. I was just like, I didn't expect that either.
I like was completely surprised by that.
Mm-hmm.
This was a very good match from both of them.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought that it was a very good match. And I think it's good that D'Angelo did pick up the victory, but I don't know what's, I don't know what's going to be on deck for either of them.
Well, I mean, moving to NXT, we know for Tony.
True, but with Lennox wise, I know. But
well,
next up,
I don't know. We kind of, there's an inkling there.
An inkling. Next up, you had Paxley pick up the victory over Izzy Dame to become the new North American champion. This matchup, I think, may have been my favorite matchup of the night.
I'm going to say I jotted this down for a match of the year candidate.
Wow.
I was a big fan of this match.
That says a lot.
Tatum Paxley got started right away. I thought it was a pretty even match, too.
Mm-hmm.
I like the abdominal stretch spot where they both did it. Then Izzy Dame locked in the lion tamer, which then Tatum Paxley got out of and rolled into a Boston Crab. Like, anything you can do, I could do better sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
I like Tatum Paxley hitting the sky high, which is Izzy's finisher. That sunset flip to the outside that Tatum Paxley did was awesome.
That was a nice spot, too.
Almost got counted out. She was distracted by Sean Spears. Almost missed that 10 count. She gets in. She gets hit with the sky high.
And I really liked that, too, because it was a good inclusion of them without being physical. So I like that she came very close to being counted out, but then got in right at the last moment. Like you said, it was it did serve its purpose because she ended up getting hit right when she got back in.
And then Sean Spears did get up on the apron, but Tatum Paxley moved. Izzy Dame accidentally knocks him off. Izzy hit a code breaker on Tatum Paxley. Tatum Paxley flips out of it. And then she hits the cemetery drive and gets the victory there. I thought this was a very, very good match.
And the crowd was hot for it.
Rightfully so.
I thought the crowd was very hot for this matchup.
After that, we had Fatal Influence come out, and JC spoke about all her ups and downs that she's gone through. She mentioned how she thought she'd maybe even be released at one point, but now she's going into Stand and Deliver as champion, and she thinks that she should be the main event. And she spoke about beating Sol Ruka and how she was on her way to beating Zarya as well, but Sol Ruka got involved. And then Zarya came out and she blamed Sol Ruka for her not being champion. And Fallon said that her and Sol Ruka aren't their problem anymore. Sol Ruka then came out and Robert Stone set up a triple threat for 2 weeks. Not Send and Deliver, it's in 2 weeks.
I was surprised at why not just do it sooner.
I can't even imagine what that match at Stand and Deliver is going to look like. This segment, they all get physical. Fatal Influence stood tall there.
I'm happy with that. I like that. Next up, you had Lola Vice pick the victory over Kalani Jordan in an underground match. And I thought that this was a good match. I'm going to say right off the bat, the lighting. What the heck?
I literally can't talk about this match. Like, it started off super dark and then they lightened it up a bit and I still couldn't see.
Yeah, like what was with the lighting? How do you not test this?
I don't know how long this match was, but it didn't get to a point where I could actually see until they went outside the ring. They got back into the ring and that spotlight was finally like almost shining on the ring and you could see Lola Vice knock Kalani Jordan out.
I mean, and that was really it.
I didn't get it at all. I have no idea it's not even a different place. The Performance Center. We always see underground matches there.
Yeah, I don't like. Did they not test out the lighting beforehand?
I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. But main event of the evening, Joe Hendry picked up the victory over Ricky Saints to retain the championship. I thought that this was a good matchup, but not great.
Earlier in the night, Ricky Saints spoke with Ethan Page and asked basically for his help in the match. So I was waiting for Ethan Page to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought the match was fine. I don't like it's like you can't. I don't want to compare any of these matches, but when I look at this match versus that North American Championship match, one was a clear main event, and one was not.
I agree with you.
Ethan Page, though, eventually did show up, and he stared at the NXT Championship instead of handing it to Ricky Saints right away. And then when he did go to slide it in, he slid it way too far into the ring. The referee gets it away from Joe Hendry. Joe Hendry eats a low blow and a DDT. He kicked out. And then the referee almost got taken out twice. And then in that second time, Joe Hendry was able to low blow Ricky Saints without the referee seeing. Hit the standing ovation, got the victory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it didn't really do all too much for me. I just didn't care for it.
Moving to NXT, it kicked off with Tatum Paxley, who I feel like we've heard this in the past, but she said that she won the championship because of the fans. And then Izzy Dame interrupted. She played a video of Tatum Paxley when she first got to NXT. There was Diamond Mine footage. There was that breakout tournament footage. And she said that Tatum is always going to be someone pretending to be someone else. And she wants a rematch. She attacked Tatum Paxley. And I thought that the use of, I guess, the evolution of Tatum Paxley. Because in the video, they do show, like, they kind of show, like, her breaking point to mm-hmm. where she got to, how she is, who she is now. And I thought that was a very well done video to add in there.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
And then later on, Tatum Paxley, she wanted to get back at Izzy Dame. She ran into Shiloh Hill. Shiloh Hill's like, oh, I got you. And he goes out in the parking lot to prevent the culling from leaving, takes out a bunch of cars. So there's horns going off everywhere. Robert Stone's like, what the hell's going on over here? And then even later on, Tatum Paxley attacked Izzy Dame. It was broken up, and Robert Stone set up a cage match for the championship next week. Definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah, it was a good way to go about it all, I thought.
Yeah.
But next up, you had Sean Legacy and Eli Knight pick the victory over Jasper Troy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Quite an odd match, too. Because at the beginning, it shows off the power of Jasper Troy. But Keanu Carver showed up. He put Jasper Troy through the commentary table. That then turns the match into Sean Legacy versus Eli Knight. They face off against one another. And then Jasper Troy eventually gets back into the match. Takes both of them down. Picked both of them up for that Samoan drop. Legacy ends up breaking up a pin. Almost gets hit by the Black Hole Slam, but Knight stops it mid-move. I like that. And then they both hit their moves on Jasper Troy. They both pinned him. Very, like I said, interesting. Very odd. And then it was announced. I don't think it was announced. That wasn't a thing. I was going to say it was announced that they're going to be... There was a speed tournament thing, but I think they're shifting from the speed tournament to, instead of facing one another, they're going to want to go after the tag titles now, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
But at Vengeance Day, we had Lexus King tell Charlie Dempsey that he needs to make a decision. Tavion Heights pitched a one-night-only reunion of the No Quarter Catch crew. And Charlie Dempsey okayed it. And then we got Birthright picking up the victory over the No Quarter Catch Crew. Nice to see a little reunion while it lasted. Both teams in somewhat matching gear. I like that. I thought they had a lot of good tag spots in this match, too.
What about that?
They had a lot of good tag spots.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But William Regal, Fit Finlay, show up during the match. Charlie Dempsey gets that look and takes out Tavian Heights.
Big turn. But I think necessary turn.
I'm beginning to think we will never see David Finlay.
I wonder why.
Later on, though, Robert Stone sets up a tournament to get a shot at the Vanity Project for Sand and Deliver. We're going to see Sean Legacy and Eli Knight team up in that. Birthright will be in it. The Culling are in it. OTM and Darkstay were also in it, but they brawled. So they were taken out. And we also are going to see next week Los Americanos and El Grande Americano versus the Vanity Project on NXT.
That should be a good spotlight match.
Yeah.
I want to see Vanity Project really shine. I want to see what they're going to do in that matchup.
It should be interesting to see if it follows AAA or Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, because Vanity Project are heels. It's going to be a really good test for them.
So I don't know if the crowd is going to be booing Los Americanos there.
I can't see it. I can't see that.
We had Tony D'Angelo come out, and he spoke about the reasons why he's back, and he said Vengeance Day puts an end to the matter with Dark State. His other reason for being back was the NXT Championship, and he wants it. And he said that if he has to break Joe Hendry's face, then he will do it. And he told Joe Hendry, basically, just prepare for me because I am the next champion.
Yeah.
So we do have
next
the what's next for Tony D'Angelo right now.
Which is good. I think that they needed to transition into his on deck very fast. Otherwise, I feel like stuff can get very stale, so I'm glad that they're going to move on very fast with him.
On the topic of Tony D'Angelo, though, Luca Cruzzavino recently debuted a brand new character on Evolve, which is a complete 180 from being a lawyer for the D'Angelo family, or whatever he was. I don't even know how to describe it. I don't even know where that's going to lead to.
Party guy?
It reminds me of Chet Hanks. Tom Hanks' son.
Who's that? Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's very out there.
Yeah. Well, next up, you got Sol Ruka picking the victory over Lainey Reed.
It's went a lot longer than I expected it to.
Yeah, and it's good that, obviously, going into this, you kind of knew that Sol Ruka was going to come out as the winner.
But good match for Lainey Reed here.
Yeah, good and showing.
Also, I fully expected Zari to show up. That didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, very true.
But I was very happy watching this match, seeing Lainey Reed getting a chance to actually wrestle there.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Next up, Ren Sinclair picked the victory over Thea Hale to advance in the speed tournament. Ren Sinclair having time to shine right now.
Fans were fully behind Ren Sinclair in this match. In the final, I think, minute of the match, she reversed the Kimura lock with the final wrench. That was the name of her cattle mutilation that I couldn't think of last week.
Mm-hmm.
And she got the victory off of that. So next week, we'll be seeing, I think next week, is Ren Sinclair versus Fallon Henley. Pardon me, would really like to see Ren win it.
I agree with you. I think that I really want to see Ren pick up the victory in this one. I agree. But next up, you had the main event of the evening. Ethan Page and Ricky Saints picked up the victory over Miles Bourne and Joe Hendry. I was surprised. I kind of expected the faces to win.
Especially with what the antics were going on in the match. Like, Ricky Saints tried to cheat like Ethan Page did at Vengeance Day. He slid the North American Championship way too far. He did the Home Alone face there. Bit too much. But I thought it was funny. And I thought there would be more mishaps between them. But we really didn't get that. Later on, Ethan Page slid the NXT Championship directly to him. The referee took it away. I don't know if you can consider that a mishap. But Ethan Page tagged himself in, which he and Ricky Saints did argue, so I guess you could say there was a little mishap there. But when the referee tried to get Miles Bourne out of the ring, Ethan Page ends up hitting the Twisted Grin on the championship. And he was the one that gets the victory there. They celebrate. And it ends with Ethan Page and Ricky Saints kind of maybe realizing, like, wait a minute, I don't know if we could be a team. Like, we're both kind of going after the same thing here.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that, like, last shot of NXT was really well done. Really funny. And it should be interesting to see, like, because right now they're working well as a team. But Ethan Page wants the NXT championship. Ricky Saints wants the NXT championship.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to last long. That was NXT moving over to SmackDown. It kicked off with Drew McIntyre interrupting the show, pissed off about Nick Aldis getting Cody that title match last week. And he called him out to make it right. Nick Aldis showed up. He's like, there's nothing to make right. Champions defend titles, and that's what you did. And Nick Aldis rubbed it in Drew's face that Cody beat Drew. Drew threatened Nick Aldis, and then Jacob Fatu showed up and said that Drew wouldn't have been champion if it wasn't for him. He was fixing what he did last week. And then Jacob Fatu asked Drew McIntyre what he's going to do about it, and Drew McIntyre said he quits. So, first match saw Uncle Howdy and Eric Rowan pick up the victory over Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga. Before this, Shinsuke Nakamura spoke to Tama Tonga again. Solo Sikoa basically told him, mind your own business. Tama Tonga and JC Mateo got involved. Not Tama Tonga, Tongaloa. And they fought with Joe Gacy and Dexter Lumis ringside. Nikki Cross took back the lantern, which distracted Solo Sikoa. It allowed for Uncle Howdy to hit Sister Abigail. And then Tama Tonga showed up, hit Cutthroat on Uncle Howdy, and they took back the lantern. Jade Cargill picked up the victory over Mia Yim. Mia Yim attacked Jade Cargill from behind before the match. She controlled some of it, but you had to know she was not winning this. And then afterwards, Jade Cargill spoke about Rhea Ripley, and she said she's not afraid of Rhea Ripley. She doesn't see her as a threat or a challenge. Rhea Ripley showed up. Jade Cargill left the ring. Rhea said some things. Doesn't really feel like WrestleMania, a build to WrestleMania for me. But later on, backstage, there was a segment with Motor City Machine Guns, Johnny Gargano, Candice LeRae. You could see in the background, B-Fab talking to Jade Cargill. It seems like that team between B-Fab and Mia Yim is not going to go on for much longer. Yeah, the Irresistible Forces pick up the victory over Charlexa to retain the tag team championships. The Bella Twins showed up beforehand. They said that whoever wins, it doesn't matter because they get the next shot. They get a title shot. And this match, chaotic. Nia Jax at one point missed the Annihilator. Flair hit the moonsault. Lash Legend broke that up. Alexa Bliss took her out, and it spilled to the outside for another moment. Nia Jax ended up pulling Nikki Bella into a boot from Charlotte. Nia Jax shoved Brie Bella down. Alexa Bliss, they go back into the match, about to hit Twisted Bliss, maybe win the tag team championships. After Charlotte hit that natural selection on Nia Jax, and Brie Bella attacked Nia Jax. And then they all fought. I like the bear hug leg drop combo from the champions, but we're going to be seeing the champions take on the Bella Twins next week, and I just feel like How do you not have Bayley and Lyra Valkyria added to that WrestleMania match? I still feel like that'll happen. We saw the Judgment Day. Damian Priest and R-Truth pick up the victory over Los Garza. Los Garza attacked them at the start. Damian Priest took over big time, though. But Los Garza came back. With how Damian Priest took over, I literally thought the match was going to be over in like 2 minutes. And honestly, despite losing, I thought this was a good match for Los Garza. We saw the double bell clap that we saw last week, the attitude adjustment, South of Heaven, same exact time to finish the match. I'm enjoying this version of the Judgment Day. Well, not technically the Judgment Day, but we had Miz TV with Jelly Roll as the special guest. I almost said special guest referee, but just a special guest. Beforehand, Danhausen ends up cursing the Miz because the Miz wants nothing to do with Danhausen. And when the Miz started this segment, his microphone cut out. Maybe that was part of the curse. Jelly Roll said that there was no way he was going to be missing Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes signing their contract on the road to WrestleMania for their WrestleMania match. Miz pitched being Jelly Roll's mentor, which Jelly Roll turned down because he knows that Miz stabs all his partners in his back, in their back. And then Miz went off on him. Kit Wilson showed up and also went off on Jelly Roll. Jelly Roll said that he likes Kit Wilson. He's doing the Kit Wilson dance and stuff. Kit called him toxic. He pushed Jelly Roll. Jelly Roll swung, hits Miz. Danhausen said afterwards, you should have had me as your mentee. I could have been out there to protect you from Jelly Roll. And then he said that all Miz knows what he has to do to get that curse reversed. Miz said there's no curse. Danhausen disappeared. Yeah, Tiffany Stratton pick up the victory over Kiana James. Tiffany Stratton wants Julia, the United States Championship. She had to go through Kiana James. We saw Chelsea Green and Alba Fire show up. Julia saved Kiana from the prettiest moonsault ever. And then later on in that same sort of moment, Chelsea Green went to hit Tiffany Stratton with a wrench. And Julia stopped that from happening. And then Kiana James accidentally knocked Julia off the apron. She hit the prettiest moonsault ever, got the victory off of that. I can't see this being just a singles match at WrestleMania, but I don't know who else would be in this match. I don't know if Chelsea's going to be healthy enough to be in that. She's still in the boot and a wheelchair, but she did come out of that wheelchair, so maybe we'll see that. After that, we saw Trick Williams pick up the victory over Jacob Fatu. This stemmed from what happened earlier. Sami Zayn had spoken to Cody Rhodes earlier. He spoke to Aleister Black and Zelina Vega. He was very pissed off, and he like went off on Trick Williams. This match, though, was very even, and I thought very good for Trick Williams. Drew McIntyre showed up. He attacked Jacob Fatu behind the referee's back. Trick hit the trick shot, gets the victory off of that. Drew McIntyre hit Jacob Fatu with the Claymore afterwards, and then after all that was done, Nick Aldis set up a match, Drew McIntyre versus Jacob Fatu for next week. To close SmackDown, we had the Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes contract signing. Cody brought up his history with Randy Orton and how he saw Randy do what he did. He won the Royal Rumble and he thought to himself, man, if I could only do that. And then he left. And when he came back to WWE, he didn't have Dustin Rhodes there. He didn't have his wife. She stayed home with the kid, but he had Randy Orton. And Randy Orton said that he needs this championship win. It was supposed to be Drew McIntyre. He seemed conflicted about facing Cody Rhodes. Cody ends up hyping Randy Orton up. He's like, I know what happens in the match happens in the match. I'll always love you. Randy Orton signed, they hugged, and then Randy Orton attacked Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes got busted the absolute heck open, pouring blood, absolutely pouring out. And he just continued on that attack. The fans were cheering Randy Orton. Nick Aldis got pushed down, Jelly Roll got involved, he got pushed. Randy Orton left, came back, smashed Cody with a steel chair onto the steps. It was a well-done segment. A bit confusing. I feel like they're trying to get people to boo Randy Orton. I don't know if that's going to happen. Should be interesting. But that was SmackDown. I'm going to take a quick little break, and I'll be right back here on Marking Out.
This is third-generation superstar Lance on Hawaii, and you're listening to Marking Out.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Marking Out, episode 788. Moving over to AAA, it was announced this week that Nino Hamburguesa was released. He attacked a fan at an indie show. It's unfortunate that that happened, but hopefully he'll maybe one day be back with AAA. The whole situation is, I think, very unfortunate, but he shouldn't have done what he did. But moving to AAA from this past week, it opened with Vikingo picking up the victory over Dinamico. Dorian Roldan set this match up as a warm-up for Dominic Mysterio. I think he should have found somebody else because I was expecting him to tear through this in like 10 seconds. It was a bit more of a challenge than Roldan probably wanted for Vikingo. Dom afterwards spoke, basically saying he's going to win at Rey de Reyes. Flammer issued an open challenge for anybody from WWE to fight for the Reina de Reinas championship. I really hope for Bayley. People are like, it has to be Liv, but it to me that wouldn't make sense for Liv to be the person to challenge her. Bayley, I think, would be awesome. Main event. Not the main event. We saw Santos Escobar pick up the victory over Mr. Iguana, Abismo Negro, and Psycho Clown to qualify for the Rey de Reyes. This was a fun match, but no way was anybody else in this match winning other than Escobar. El Fiscal showed up. That distracted Abismo Negro. He continued their brawl from the other week, so I thought that was a fun aspect of it. The War Raiders showed up to take Psycho Clown out. So, I guess they're heels in Mexico? That didn't really make sense to me. Pagano made the save, and then Escobar ends up beating Mr. Iguana. But backstage, Psycho Clown asked Pagano, like, brother, where the hell's Murder Clown? I left you, like, to look after him and make sure nothing happens. And then it turned out that he was just in the bathroom, so that was funny. I don't know if Psycho Clown, like, blamed Pagano for the attacks or what. I don't know if that's what it's going to end up being, and I hope that's not the case, but might be. Main event, though, El Grande Americano Original picked up the victory over La Parca. I didn't understand why this was, like, why this match took place the week before Rey de Reyes. They're both in the main match, but Americano worked on La Parca's leg throughout the match. I thought he'd lose to the ankle lock, but Americano turned La Parca's mask around and beat him with the German suplex. Moving over to Impact, you had the Hardys pick up the victory over Sinner and Saint. I keep saying how good Sinner and Saint are, and this was an enjoyable match. I just wish it was longer. I did like that they prevented the Swanton, but Icarus missed the Frog Splash. Jeff Hardy was able to lock in Spinal Destination, get that victory. I didn't get that extra Swanton after the match because, like, the match is over. Why did Jeff Hardy need to do that? And then they shook hands afterwards, even more so. It makes no sense to me. You had Indy Hartwell pick up the victory over Kelsey Heather. I think you had to know Indy was winning this match. It wasn't one-sided, though. But I'm not really sure how I feel about this because I feel like Indy should be well beyond matches like this. I get that TNA doesn't have the biggest roster, but I feel like she should have just torn right through her. Maybe you can spin it as her working her way all the way back from the bottom to the top for the Knockouts Championship. I don't know. She spoke afterwards and demanded a title shot, so, like, what I just said doesn't necessarily apply. You could try to apply the logic there. I don't know. I don't think she should have had a match like that. But Ariana Grace came out, Stack showed up, and she said that Indy can't just demand a title shot. And Indy's like, isn't that literally what you did? But Ariana Grace told her, get in line. And Indy said that she's taking the title. And then later on backstage, Ariana Grace attacked Indy Hartwell. You had Trey Miguel, BDE, and Rich Swann pick up the victory over Order 4. This got started right away, and it was super chaotic. This was Ali's first match back after losing to Elijah in that guitar case casket match. So I kind of expected Mustafa Ali to win this. I was wrong. Tasha Steelz got involved. Jada Stone ran down to brawl with her. She got dropped, and then Tasha Steelz ran into the crowd to, like, hide. Stone went and jumped off the entrance ramp to take her down. That swinging neck breaker from Hotch I thought was dope. Miguel eventually hit that lightning spiral, gets the victory there. Steve Macklin came out, said that he had to apologize in order for being reinstated. He thanked Daria Ray, and then the rest was just not a good apology at all, or just it wasn't an apology to begin with. But he said that what happens at Sacrifice is Mike Santana's fault, basically. You saw AJ Francis pick up the victory over Elijah. Frankie Kazarian did commentary. This could have gone either way. Elijah did the old school Canadian Destroyer setup. I don't know if he's done that before. Maybe he has. I just wasn't expecting it. But Frankie Kazarian got involved. AJ Francis was able to hit the choke slam off of that and get that victory there. And then Kazarian beat Elijah down afterwards. AJ Francis helped him. Hometown Man made the save. We had Swingers Palace. I don't know the last time we had a Swingers Palace, but Rosemary showed up recently. She's been working on checking things off of a list. And Allie, the bunny, showed up. It's a to-be-continued, but I popped at Dango being there. The Chris Sabin line about him being shipped up north I thought was funny. He was a huge part of the Swingers Palace segments. And I was a big fan of Wrestle House, and I was a big fan of the Swingers Palace segments. So it was nice to see this. It might have been like, I don't know, like 4 years maybe? I have no idea the last time we saw that. So I was happy to see that. We saw Ricky Sosa make his TNA debut against Brad Attitude, getting the victory there. Sosa over big time. I think this was a great debut for him. That Blue Thunder Bang finish is quite impressive. Very good, and I hope we see more of Ricky Sosa in TNA. Main event saw Moose pick up the victory over Cedric Alexander in an Atlanta street fight. The system was banned from ringside. Alicia Edwards, though, was ringside for Moose. She stopped Cedric Alexander from smashing Moose's head on the steel steps with a chair. He ends up pushing her, so she slaps him. And Moose able to take over a bit. That powerbomb, though. Cedric powerbombed Moose onto the steel, the trash can. That was brutal. He set up a bunch of chairs in the ring. He ended up getting superplexed onto them. And then to end the match, Moose speared Cedric through the table that was set up in the corner. So that checks off one member of the system that Moose is taking care of right now. So that's TNA. Hey, Brandon, got any shout-outs?
This is Miss Piggy, and you should be listening to moi instead of Brandon's shout-outs.
The Fall and Rise of Reggie Dinkins gets the first shout-out. It's quite the long title for a TV show. Do you know anything about this or no?
I've never even heard of it.
Brand new show on NBC, starring Tracy Morgan as an ex-football player who's trying to make a comeback. Not in football, but in, like, the public spotlight. And he hires Daniel Radcliffe's character to film a documentary. Bobby Moynihan plays Tracy's character's best friend and former teammate. Erica Alexander is Tracy's ex-wife and agent. It's made by the 30 Rock team, so it has a lot of that style of humor. Episode 3 had me, like, hysterically laughing throughout the whole episode. And I will say it kind of started off a little slow, but that third episode, and the fourth episode was really funny too, but I'm very much so enjoying this show. So if you want to watch it, it's on NBC, it's on Peacock Weekly, the night after, or the day after, I should say. My next shout-out, also on Peacock, Ted is back. Season 1 was January 2024. It sucks that we had to wait. What is Ted?
Yeah. Was that HBO show?
No. Oh. It's the movies about the stuffed bear with Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, okay.
It was a prequel series to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
So it sucks that we had to wait 2 years for a second season. Seth MacFarlane said that there aren't plans to make a third season because each episode costs way too much money to make, which sucks. I mean, they ended season two by basically being like, well, if you want to know what happens next, go watch the movies. Spoiler alert.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't seem like we're getting that. There is an animated series coming later this year, I think. But I don't, that'll be like the movies and not the prequel. But I do think that they knock it out of the park with this prequel. And I mean, if you're unfamiliar with what's happening in the prequel, it's the Ted movies. They're in high school, though. I don't know if it was necessarily a complaint that I had for season one, but because it was in the 90s, I was like, how is there no pro wrestling? And in season two, we got pro wrestling. So
there you go. You had to have it in there at some point.
We got a little bit of pro wrestling, yeah. They showed a clip of Yokozuna and Bret Hart wrestling.
Nice.
Yeah. It was quite funny because what is said in the scene doesn't really quite make sense because Bret Hart is also a foreigner in that case. But Bret was the face, so it makes sense. My last up, though, WWE 2K26. Gotta give an anti shout out.
All right. So right now, take note of the time, Brandon. Go for it.
I will
at least 50 minutes. I know you want to really let loose on this one.
I'll save. I mean, I did mark out over stuff in that, but I'll put that in the mark out moment stuff. But I feel like this game is more like WWE 2K20 than it is 2K25, which is not a good thing. Which it's not to say I didn't have a ton of problems with 2K25 because I really did, and I was really like very much so debating whether or not to even get 2K26. But then AAA was teased, and I was like, how could I not get AAA? How could I not get the game if AAA is going to be in there? But they added a bunch of new things to my faction that to me they just don't work, and they make the game slow. The camera angle is absolutely garbage. They could be working on it. I have no idea, but it's awful. The ringside pass, which is the new DLC concept, is just bad. I don't like paying for downloadable content and then having to grind to get what I paid for. And I think what's worse...
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
What's worse is that you don't always get RXP because the game is broken. And when you reach out to them, they don't really respond to you how you need them to.
I don't understand why this is such a, like, problem. I mean, I don't understand.
I don't know. And they keep, like, when I submitted a ticket, they're like, oh, well, we're going to need to see proof that you didn't receive RXP. I was like, how could I possibly prove that? It happens at random times.
Mm-hmm.
At one point in this chain, I got a response about NBA 2K. I got a response from NBA 2K last year and then again this year. I'm like, I'm not even, why NBA? I'm literally in the middle of a chain talking about WWE 2K26. And I get that the game is new, but I don't think we should be beta testers. We paid more money to play a week early. I don't like this. And then for the next ringside pass, they already made it so you can't get RXP in matches under 60 seconds. Because somebody figured out that you could change the AI sliders and then make it pretty instantly easy to tap out your opponent. Do 30-second matches. And that's not how I want to unlock the stuff in the pass. You're just playing the same match over and over again to get enough points. It's an awful thing that they added. I really hate those features. Even that stamina bar that I was mentioning. It makes it near impossible to complete things because you're always turning purple. And for whatever reason,
what does turning purple mean?
You can't run. You can't reverse.
Jeez.
But when the opponent is purple, they could do whatever they want. Somehow. Because the game is broken. Hopefully everything gets changed. I don't know. For them to have gone like pretty quickly changing that 30-second RXP thing. Community Creations is broken. It's not cross-platform right now. They have to be working on it, but for them to do that, such a quick turnaround, we have to get it done before the game officially comes out. It's a slap in the face. And then you have people who work on the game put out tone-deaf statements. You don't get enough RXP. You don't get enough My Faction points. You don't get enough VC. You don't get enough card packs in My Faction. This is stuff that people said last year. And they didn't listen. They're not going to listen. And it makes no sense that they're like, oh, well, this isn't how you have fun in a video game. You can't tell me how to have fun in the video game. You don't get to dictate what my version of fun is.
Well, you're doing a workaround to do this.
Well, you're offering, I could pay you $80 to skip all the levels and then unlock the whole pass. Mm-hmm. That's fine, but doing a 30-second match 200 times isn't? Come on. I just wanted Psycho Clown. I just wanted Mr. Iguana, Flammer. I wanted Vikingo. And now every season you're going to have to do that same thing over and over again. It's just going to take longer and longer. It's ridiculous. If you want the Hardy Boys, you're not getting them at the same time. Demolition, three-man team, you're not getting them at the same time. Spoiler alert for my mark-out moment of the week. So that's an anti-shout-out. Those are my other shout-outs. Now it's time for
Our
That is right, our mark out moment of the week. I was just talking about it. 2K announced the rest of the downloadable content during SmackDown. I spoke about the most I could for the DLC last week because the way that they went about announcing everything was just like, I don't think the set was finished. I don't think the set was finished because last week they get to the last of the last. We now know Kelly Kelly's finally back in the game. That's someone that people have been wanting in the game for years. She's going to be in season 2 with Demolition. Like I said earlier, the Hardy Boys were announced. So the only TNA superstars, we thought we were going to get more. We, as in the fan base of this game, thought we were going to get a lot of TNA in this game. We're getting the Hardy Boys. Mm-hmm. So at least we have that. There were high hopes that Jeff Hardy would be part of CM Punk's showcase. That unfortunately didn't happen. But I am happy to have them as DLC. And I hope we get a whole bunch of Persona versions of the Hardys from different eras. We also found out season 5 will have Danhausen.
That's awesome.
You can't tell me this pack was finished. And you can't tell me, like, it's impossible to get so-and-so in the game. Danhausen debuted last week. You can't convince me that you can't, like, get people in the game because such and such happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then in season 6, we found out that Royce Keyes will be part of it, too. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
But like I said last week, there's a lot of names in the DLC who are just people I think just should have been in the base game. I thought for sure we were going to get Steve Blackman this year. I have no idea why they interviewed Steve Corino if he didn't even make the roster. Leilani
that
Kai.
That
kind
of shoots down everything that you thought about.
Really, it makes no sense. Leilani Kai signed a Legends contract. People thought she was going to make the cut. She didn't. You have an Attitude Era game. Godfather and Kama is missing. Papa Shango's not in it. Jacqueline is also under a Legends contract. She's not in the game. I don't know what happened with Jerry Lawler, but when or why they took him out last year. But I thought we would get Jerry Lawler. I thought we would get Jim Duggan in the game. And I thought if AAA was going to be in the DLC at all, we would get Legends like Conan.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, we're missing people, and we have to wait till season 6 to get Pagano to team up with Psycho Clown. What they did in that first pack was give legends that were already in the game previously. This year there was no supercharger, so we had to play through that battle pass to unlock everyone. What's going to be the next battle pass? Like the next season? We have all the legends now. They're only putting 4 names in each set. They're only doing 2 persona cards in each set. You're just going to give a bunch of my faction cards? Lame. There's not going to be arenas in each set. There's not going to be titles in each set. It's pretty lame. So it should be very interesting. That one tweet from that developer went super viral. Super viral. So there should be an emergency meeting to be like, brother, we messed up big time. And I don't think that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. No.
But we have the Hardy Boys, so that's cool at least.
There you go.
How was your markout moments?
My markout moments, let's see. Did we even intro the markout moment?
Yes.
I think you just started talking about it.
No,
I believe we actually have an intro.
I believed I introed it, brother.
I don't know.
We even did the hour.
Did we?
Yeah. It wasn't 90 minutes ago. Like, it just took place.
But for me, Danhausen. Everything with Danhausen, him working the stands, going into the ring with the t-shirts and tossing out, like,
oh, yeah, we didn't
a
even
group
speak
of
about
t-shirts
that.
To one person. Yeah. And he's just like, just pass those out.
Yeah.
Like, I am so happy to see everything with Danhausen and screw every single person that was just like complaining, oh, he's not going to get over. This is stupid.
They're
he's
repeating.
10 years too late.
They are repeating it with him.
Yeah.
You will be cursed. So, any other markout moments?
So mark out for that. And what else did I mark out for? I marked out for the return of One Piece to Netflix. So very excited about that. Also, I marked out for Ricky Sosa, TNA. And he actually, in-ring debut on TNA, and he actually has his theme song that he was using previously. And the fans, it's already over. So I marked out for Ricky Sosa, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen with him.
Also, did you mark out that your favorite movie on Netflix is getting a sequel?
Yes. I mean, it's Golden. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to K-Pop Demon Hunters 2. That's going to be great. And I will also say that I marked out for something that I don't usually mark out for. I popped for Saturday Night Live for the skit with the Cyclops. I thought that was hilarious.
Refresh my memory.
With
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah. They were the three Cyclops. It was him, Kenan Thompson, and somebody else, and they had to guess these clues to in order to get the key to go through the door. And kept on guessing just the most random things. It was very funny.
That other sketch was funny where he kept breaking.
I didn't see that one yet. I didn't see a lot of them. I just saw that one.
Well, that is the Mark Out Moments of the Week. That is episode 788. Thank you so much for tuning in. You could follow us on Twitter at Marking Out, at BTTG161 on all platforms. Chris Sweendog, CMSweeney85, David PTDPT on all platforms. Facebook.com/Marking Out. YouTube and Instagram are Marking Out 11. ProWrestlingTees.com/Marking Out if you'd like to support us like that. At Marking Out on TikTok, you could see some, like I said last week, Danhausen really brought the house in for us. Yeah, got us some, quite a lot of views there. You could check us out. Also, you could see some Disneyland clips. I'm just adding those up. You could check out the show, rate, review, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify Podcasts, YouTube, MarkingOut.com, and we wish you the
best of luck in your future endeavor.
Have a fantastic week.
Arr!